Back here on the Mighty 690, 812, Clayton Lester joins us once again here from K-State Extension. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Good morning. Going pretty good.
All right. So we do have here, as we get started in our next segment together, still got some very hot weather on the way. Of course, the fair week was, of course, the hottest week for the interstate.
Exactly.
So we still have some very warm weather in store, which is kind of wild because last year I think we kind of got spoiled. I don't think Coffeyville maybe made it to like 100 once or something like that.
Oh, really?
It was not much at all, but here we are, just hundreds throwing out left and right. So I know I wanted to talk about a few things related to cattle heat stress.
Yeah, exactly. So heat stress occurs when cows generate and absorb more heat than they can get rid of. So by respiration, sweating, and air blowing or wind fans, heat stress leads to increased respiration rates, body temperature, sweating, and time standing. So I got a few signs of heat stress. So some of these could be like open mouth breathing with like the tongue protruding out. Breathing is labored, so hard breathing and respiration rates may decrease. Cattle push from flank while breathing, head down, and not necessarily drooling. Animals may be isolated from the herd, so they'll be off away from the others, maybe trying to find some shade or something in the pond. So along with those signs, we got some prevention and some management. So first one would be like water. So water is very critical. So ambient temperatures in the mid-90s can increase cattle water requirements by 2.5 times compared to 70 degree temperatures, which is pretty crazy. So water trough capacity and refill rate become very important in this situation. So most experts agree that cattle need 3 linear inches of water space per head during hot weather. So if necessary, introduce additional water tanks ahead of a heat wave so cattle can become accustomed to them. So ensure that refill rates are sufficient to prevent cattle intake from exceeding that refill capacity. Our next one, we definitely want some shade. So ensure all livestock can access shade in an area with good wind flow. So when providing shade in a shelter, ensure the shelter allows wind access for the livestock to cool. So make sure the shelter has adequate space to accommodate all animals in the pen. So if needed, divide animals into smaller groups in the shelter. So make sure bedding is clean and dry to prevent ammonia and heat buildup. So clean the dry, dirty areas. So best during the summer months. Then we also want some good ventilation. So increasing that airflow is another important component. So be certain air moves freely in all sections of the barn. There are 2 main ways to increase airflow. So one is install fans so that air movement is increased, and the second is open sides of the barn. So in many cases, walls of the barn may be partially made of concrete. So in this situation, opening the lower level of the barn to increase airflow is not really an option sometimes. So the addition of those fans are pretty essential in those barns. Then also feeding practices. So the producer's primary feeding goal should be to maintain intake and limit the negative effect of heat stress on cattle. So during these hot and humid weathers, so it's advisable to increase the number of times per day that one feeds. So increasing the number enables one to feed less at any one time, thereby avoiding heat and spoilage of that feed in the feed trough or in the feed bunk. So flies around the feed is also reduced as well, thereby reducing that insect population. So additional feeding also allows those producers to observe that cattle more often be infected by the heat and that humidity. So increasing the amount of feed available during the cool period of the day, early morning or later in the evening, is another great alternative. Then another one is sprinklers. So that's our last one we're going to hit on. So sprinklers are another addition that can reduce heat stress. So there are several items to consider when installing. So be certain sprinklers are over a clean, preferably concrete areas, so animals do not lie down in the mud or other areas causing an increase in maybe mastitis. Do not leave sprinklers continuously on so that the udders drip with water. So put them on a timer to also observe your cattle. So if water is dripping from the udder, then reduce the time on the sprinklers. So if sprinklers are placed near a feed bunk, be certain that the feed does not become wet. So always keeping that moisture away, that way we don't create some mold. And the last thing I'm going to hit on is something that K-State has. So it's part of the K-State Mesonet. So that's our animal comfort monitoring index. So this tool tracks current heat stress values with real-time data and looks ahead at the 7-day forecast. So helping farmers stay one step ahead of potential issues, users can access this tool from the main Mesonet page. So this product utilizes the National Weather Service hourly forecast. So average over the hour, meaning extremes could be slightly more for the next 7 days. So this data consists of solar, wind, temperature, and humidity is used in the Comprehensive Comfort Index equation, so developed by the University of Nebraska. So the ability to withstand both hot and cold extremes provides a year-round product that increases producers' awareness in advance of critical weather. So data is displayed on a graph and summarized in a table as well, so allowing quick analysis of conditions on a desktop or a mobile browser on your phone is an easy-to-read format as well.
Well, and it, just taking a look at it here for the next coming days, it is kind of interesting because you would think, oh, well, you know, just taking a look at the highs, today would not be a very good day, but like Thursday and Friday shouldn't be too bad because they're in the upper 90s, but it's actually kind of the opposite. We're into heat caution here today and tomorrow. This is just taking a look here, for instance, between like the Sedan, Mesonet area and Parsons, but it's actually on Friday and part of Saturday we actually get into that heat danger. So it is a little bit different because they're going to be factoring in like that humidity, the wind, and other factors. So it is a little bit different than just looking at the one metric just with temperature.
Exactly. So all those factors do play a pretty big role. So
yeah. So when it is a warm and these cattle, I mean, are they not going to be putting on weight as much? Or are they just kind of trying to, like, you know, maintain? What does that look like there from, you know, your bottom line perspective?
Really just trying to maintain. So mm-hmm. keep them nice and cool. But far as feed wise, we're really just trying to maintain. But we're always trying to always add some weight to them, especially those feeder calves.
Sure.
Still trying to feed them out, especially a lot of guys that might run like a stalker operation, buy some calves in the spring, kind of feed them out through the summer. Always still trying to build some more, yeah. But for those cows, probably really just trying to maintain for the most part.
Because I didn't know if the heat affected them where they just, you know, weren't going to eat as much.
Right.
When it's
and
hot.
We're probably to the point now with a lot of our grass, we're probably going to start going ahead maybe feeding a little bit of hay, especially if we don't get any rain. So something definitely to think about.
Yeah.
So as we go in the winter, especially a lot of people baling hay and stuff like that, it could be one of those years maybe we might have to start feeding a little bit hay a little bit earlier. It's just one of those things, hard to tell, but
yeah,
right now our grass is definitely dying off, that's for sure.
It's not in very good shape right now with all this lack of rain, and even some of those trees are seeing some heat stress.
They
think
definitely are. I've been noticing a lot really around Columbus on my commute to work. Everything's just really turned really brown, especially for those big trees.
It's weird because it almost looks like fall, but you're like, this is, you know, it's way too early for that. So
exactly.
It just kind of goes to show you some of that, you know, that lack of moisture.
Yeah.
We were just talking around here at the office that, you know, it really hasn't had a meaningful rainfall since like the end of June.
Right.
You know, we had that really, that ton of rain that came on down.
Yes.
And I said, this is it. This is the end of it. And I was right.
You called it.
Yeah, I said, so, this is our last rain. And I said, you got to get used to it.
Usually that's how it goes, though.
Once, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really weird. So we'll see what happens. But we'd have a few rain chances in the forecast, but it's we're really into that hit or miss time frame here. So,
yep.
Other than that, just kind of wrapping things up, I know soybeans kind of chancy here with the lack of rain. So
yep,
that's kind of maybe kind of a concern here going forward because, you know, they need that rain to fill out anything you've seen.
Yeah, basically we need some rain to go ahead and really help fill the pods, I guess. It really depends on when you got your beans planted based off the rain and how good of a stand you got. Seems like corn, it got harvested a little bit earlier this year compared here historically in the past. So,
heard any numbers? I know that, you know, folks are pretty happy, it seems like, with the corn harvest.
That's what I've seemed to gather, but I haven't heard any numbers yet. I figured probably within the next couple of weeks I'll probably start hearing some numbers and stuff like that. But noticed a lot of combines out in the field and a lot of trucks going to the co-op or just trucking basically period down the highway. So
yeah, no, that's all good. So anyway, at least we had one out of the three, you know, big ones. We had a winner with the corn this year.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the wheat was not great. I think someone was saying, you know, like it's about 50% down from last year's something. So
it's pretty big.
Bad. So we'll cross our fingers on the soybeans, but I know, as James Coover said, there's going to be some winners and losers on that front.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, Clayton, if I guess you said you didn't have any real events to promote here today.
Not quite.
Okay.
No, I'm still working on some coming up for the fall and winter. So.
I know, it's kind of, we're getting into that back to school.
Trying to getting in a routine and sitting down with some teachers and figuring out some in-school ag programs to do with them. So
absolutely. Well, if folks do have questions for you over at the Cherokee County office, how can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, our number is 620-429-3849.
All right. Well, Clayton, always a pleasure to get to chat here today. And we do have, looks like, some improvement here in some of those lanes over on 166, 169. Does look like the eastbound lane for part of it doing a little bit better, but we still have east and westbound lanes around 8th Street slowing down, and eastbound lanes, or basically northbound lanes here on 166, 169. Still some slowdowns in that area. So, again, may want to avoid that east side of Coffeyville, if at all possible, on the highway here as the law enforcement is taking care of the scene over there. So we will have Open Line coming up here in just a few minutes. Farm to Fork, Words of Inspiration program. It's all coming up here on the Mighty 690. We'll have this week's edition of Kansas Profile coming up as well.